Hey, what's going on? This is Bill Burr from the All Things Comedy Network. I'm very excited to tell you that we are going to be releasing a stand-up special from the unbelievably talented, unbelievably hilarious, and unbelievably original Ted Alexandro. He has a new stand-up special called Senior Class of Earth. You can check it out exclusively at atcspecials.com and follow the All Things Comedy Network for more ways to support your favorite comedians. This is huge for us. This is everything that All Things Comedy was about. We wanted to get in business with great artists and help them to maintain control and ownership of what they created. And this is our first foray into that. Once again, it's called Senior Class of Earth from the great Ted Alexandro. You can check it out at atcspecials.com.
What's up, y'all? My name is Ian Edwards, and welcome to the Soccer Comic Rant. You can hear this podcast at allthingscomedy.com, World Football Daily, iTunes, SoundCloud. Let me say that again, SoundCloud, Libsyn. And yeah, you can get at me on Twitter at Ian Edwards Comic, and also World. Oh, I said that already. And also, where is the other one? Why is my memory, I'm not even surprised my memory's tripping. My memory's always tripping. But yeah, iTunes, SoundCloud. Yeah, that's it. That's where you can get at me. And on Twitter, I'll post a link for the podcast too, so you can listen there. And my Twitter account is at Ian Edwards Comic. The sponsor for the show is onthevolleyapparel.com. And if you go to onthevolleyapparel.com, and use my promo code Comic Rant, you'll get 20% off anything you order from there. And they have tanks, t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts with soccer/hip-hop emblems. And they are dope. They have Tribe Called Quest, Drake OTV style hoodies, t-shirts, sweatshirts, and yeah, for ladies and gentlemen, go there, check it out, use my promo code, get hooked up by my man Elvis down over there, online, down there. Yeah. All right. So this is a review of week 8 in the 2018-2019 Premiership season. And man, crazy weekend. Crazy weekend. So let's take it from the top of the table, shall we? And at the top of the table is Man City with 20 points. And they had their second draw of the season when they went down to Anfield to play Liverpool and scored none, but didn't let none in. And the score was 0-0, which is good for Man City because their last three games against Liverpool, the results were horrendously not in their favor. They got drenched. They got soaked. They got lit up. But they went down there with a respectful, aggressive, passive-aggressive attack, tactical formation, and They didn't get crazy. They didn't want to lose this game. This is probably Pep's first time playing Mourinho style. Like, Pep remembers the beatings, the hemorrhaging of his defense by Liverpool's goal scorers from last season in the Champions League and in the league. And said, guys, we cannot go at this team like this. This team is fast. They got speed. They have ruthless scorers. And we have to be more conservative. Mendy, you can't just run down the wing and not come back. Or you can't just run down the wing at all. How about you just stay back way more than normal? So Man City applied a very respectful attack. They just showed up not to give up any goals. And Liverpool did what they do, but they also were not as aggressive as they normally are. You know, they kind of played a middle of the ground type of press. It wasn't as high as press, like as soon as the goalkeeper gets the ball, let's go tackle him type attack. They kind of held back like a middle ground, and it was like I was watching a soccer chess match. You know, it's like a really literal soccer chess match, and they were playing for the chances. Both teams were playing for the chances that they got, and then Liverpool's strikers were a little off. Like Salah was a little off, but he just at the same time he didn't get as many chances, clear cut chances as he normally gets in a game. And some of those so called quote unquote clear chances that Salah gets in a game, they're not really clear chances. He's just so clinical, he makes them look like they were clear chances. But yeah, pretty even game. Two teams that respect each other, the champs who are beaten by a team that beat them three times last year. It came out with respect, tight defensively. And yeah, Man City went to Anfield and got a point. They could have had the whole thing. There was one penalty shout earlier on in the game. I didn't think it was a penalty, but they did get a penalty late in the game, which, yeah, after watching it several times, I guess Van Dijk did foul Sané. He didn't get the ball. And Jesus wanted to take it, but then Pep sent word from the sideline that he wanted Mahrez, the new signing from Leicester, to take it. So Mahrez goes up to Jesus and says, "Hey, man, Pep wants me to take this penalty." And Jesus had a 8-year-old kid's disappointment look creep over his face as he backed away from the penalty spot to give it to Mahrez. You know, it's like, it's not many times Jesus gets denied. And Mahrez, you know, placed the ball to his comfort, stepped back a few paces, ran up, and put that shit into outer space. I mean, wasn't even close. Goalkeeper dived, but could have just stood in place. That ball was saved by the stands. Unbelievable. And Van Dijk got bailed out by Mahrez's bad penalty kick, and game ends 0-0. And Pep cannot blame Mahrez because he picked Mahrez. And Mahrez, I guess, in the press conference afterwards, Pep says Mahrez has been putting these penalties away in practice, so that's why he picked him. And he didn't know that Mahrez has missed his last 5 out of his last 8 penalties, because Mahrez was doing that at Leicester. Pep only can see what he saw Mahrez do in practice. As a matter of fact, if Pep had known that, he might have been like, "How much you trying to sell me this dude for? Fuck that. He can't take penalties. Give me a want a discount." So it's rare when a Pep decision costs him a game. Most of Pep's decisions win him games, but hey, at the same time, Pep also probably remembers that the last time he saw Jesus take a penalty, Jesus missed it. And he sees Mahrez killing penalties in practice. And but now he knows Mahrez is a studio gangster when it comes to taking penalties. Even though his record is not that bad, I think his record before that penalty was 11-7. He scored 7 out of his last penalties. Yeah, 7 out of his last 11 penalties, Mahrez, right? And then now it's 7 out of his last 12. But Man City stays number one. Next game they have, probably after international break, is against Burnley on October 20th. And that's not going to be easy either, if I'm going by last year's Burnley, but Burnley seems to be getting better now and playing better. They had a draw this week, but we'll get into that. Number two in the table is a team everybody's taking for granted. It's Chelsea. They also have 20 points. There's three teams on 20 right now. Three teams on 20. And Chelsea's one of them. They're second. This is all a goal difference game. Like, Man City has an 18-point goal difference. Chelsea has a 13-point goal difference. And Liverpool, who's third, has a 12-point goal difference. But they all have... has not a 12-point goal difference, but a 12-plus goal difference. So, Liverpool is behind Chelsea by one goal. But all those three teams that I mentioned have 20 points. So... yeah, and Chelsea won against Southampton. And a solid performance by Chelsea. And props to Ross Barkley. He created the first goal. Nice assist to Hazard, who buried it, because that's what he does. You give him body, tell him to get rid of it, he'll bury that shit. Under Sarri, this is what he does. And Hazard going forward, scoring. And also more props to Ross Barkley for scoring the second goal. And he scored it off of a factory made, right out of the box, training ground free kick. I think Willian took the free kick, chipped it wide to Giroud. And I don't know what Giroud was attempting. He was either attempting a sideway bicycle shot or a sideway bicycle pass. Either way, your boy, Ross Barkley, shinned it accurately into the goal and gets a goal, has a good game. And I heard the pundits, this week talking about Ross Barkley. He's been recalled to the England squad. Well, a part of the reason why he's been recalled to the England squad because he's getting starting time at Chelsea, which is tough for any England prospect, even if you came up through the Chelsea system, to get in. Like, Loftus-Cheek had a great World Cup, and Ross Barkley's getting more shine ahead of him. So I guess Southgate is thinking, if Sarri's seeing something in this guy, then let me take a look at him. He's getting some playing time on a Chelsea team that's doing really well. And Ross Barkley made some comments about his play or his improvement in play. About, he was saying that Sarri, I'm going to paraphrase, he's saying that Sarri's coaching him. You know what I mean? Like, most coaches that he had before didn't really coach him. But I don't necessarily think that is true. I don't think you can, I don't know what coach would like. Well, I'm not going to shit on Ross Barkley. Ross Barkley is now 24, right? So he's more mature than he was before when he was at Everton. So, and he's also failed upwards onto a better team, Chelsea. Now, at Everton, he might have thought, I'm this young English prodigy that everyone believes in, and he's sticking his chest out, thinking he's the future. And maybe he doesn't work as hard, because he thinks, I'm just as good as everyone here, if not the best person here. And they're going to start me whether I train well or work hard as everyone else. But at Chelsea, you're on a team that has players on it that won the league, have been to the World Cup, and have international and Premier League acclaim. And Ross Barkley's on this team is like, the only way to get on the field with these guys is to go all out in practice and play hard and train hard and prove to this new coach that I deserve to be here. And I think that's what's really coming through for Ross Barkley. He's fighting for his opportunity to play on Chelsea, and it's showing on the field. And that's why I think Ross Barkley is better. Not because of what he said about coaches not really taking the time out to coach him before. It's like, I'm 24, I'm on Chelsea, I better get my shit together. like, or else I'm going to get shut out here and I'm not getting any younger. So I think maybe that mental math calculation came together, and that's why Ross Barkley is on this team. He likes the style of play. You know, timing is everything. Right coach, right style of play, and right set of players. So, yeah, let's, you know, maybe being around better, bigger players has kept Ross Barkley's ego in check. So, good for him. Good game. And, yeah, you beat Southampton. Yeah. So, let's see you do that against other people. And Chelsea, I said on my last podcast that people need to start considering these guys a threat for real to win this title. And I know they don't have a striker, and that could possibly be the reason why. But they have everything else. I saw their goalkeeper make some great saves. This guy looks real. And when you look on their bench, they got bench. You know what I mean? Like, if I go to Chelsea, right? And I go to squad. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to see. So Kepa's doing great. Spain got some keepers, man. They got De Gea. They got Kepa. And who else they got? They got some keepers, man. Jesus. So Kepa is the new Chelsea keeper. And he's Spanish. Spanish. If I want to pronounce it badly. All right. And I'm going to go down. Like, I just like, so Antonio Rudiger, Germany, defender for Chelsea. Good player. Coming on strong. You can see him getting used to the Premiership and just eating it up. And I think last week he saved the ball off the goal line. And yeah, he's balling. And Marcus Alonso. Just going back to Rudiger, he's just going to be a beast. He's going to be a motherfucking beast. For sure. He's turning into one before my very eyes. And I like watching that. You know, just as a fan of football. Not a fan of Chelsea. Victor Moses barely plays. One of the staples of the last few seasons. And of their championship with Conte. Barely plays. So they got him. They could put him in a back or in a midfield. They got David Luiz, Aspilicueta, Cesar Aspilicueta. They got Zappa Costa, Andreas Christensen, Gary Cahill, which I shouldn't even mention because we ain't going to see a lot of him. Maybe in a League Cup game, maybe. Emerson. Well, let's go back. This thing moved on me. Now let's go forward. Forward. N'Golo Kanté, midfielders, Ross Barkley, Ruben Loftus-Cheek, Jorginho, Pedro, Hazard, Kovacic, Willian, Callum Hudson. And he started the game, this kid. I think, you know, once Morata like gets his shit together some more, Giroud gets a few more games, you know, and figures out how to score more. They got Pedro, they got Hazard. This is a very competitive squad. I know Man City has it in all departments, but there's also, you know, the will and the desire is a teammate of these guys, and I think they have that right now. And that counts for a lot. Let's go to the number three team, Liverpool. Again, sitting on 20 points, 12-point goal difference. These guys' records are identical to top three. 6 wins, 2 draws. Crazy. And Liverpool, as I mentioned before, had a tie. They've had 2 ties in a row. They had a tie with Chelsea last week, and then they had a tie with Man City this week. So, man, they're not losing. They've beaten everybody they should beat. And, yeah. And they're people are saying they haven't looked as good as they did last year. Well, if they're tied for first or third based on goal difference, and they're not playing their best, at some point in the season, they're going to start playing their best. So, yeah, Liverpool are definitely title contenders. And, yeah, man, it's one of the few teams in this league, if not the only team, that could make Man City show them some respect. Like, Liverpool players walk out on the field in that red, and Man City Pep just does take a gulp. A lump forms in his throat, and he's like, "All right, boys, different game plan. This Klopp nigga is not a game. They don't respect us, and they will run through us. Those front threes will, they'll ball." So, yeah, man. So, Liverpool, they are third. Good game. They could have had no points. They could be third, like for real third, like with just 19 points. But they, you know, they avoided defeat. It's not their fault that Man City blew the penalty. And yeah, we'll take the draw. We'll take the draw. And next week, Liverpool play Huddersfield. A winnable game for them for sure. I forgot to mention that next week, or when the international break is over, Chelsea, their next game is Man United. And I'll give... on paper, Chelsea should win this. But it depends on what happens over the international break. We don't know if Mourinho is going to be there. And if he is going to be there, what did the Newcastle win do for the mental psychology of not just Mourinho, but the Man United players? And how is Man U as a team and a coach going to go forward with the rest of the season? And I'll get into that when we get to that. So I can't make a prediction now about the Chelsea-Man United game, because I want to wait until I get to Man United, where they are in the table, and talk about them before I do that. So I'm going to hold off. So let's go to number four in the table, Arsenal. They're exactly where I thought they would be. The first two games of the season were rough. They had to play Chelsea and they had to play Man City, and they lost to both. So it's starting the season when you're Arsenal with a new coach, some new players, and after 20 years of Wenger, 20 plus years of Wenger, and you start the season 0-2, and you're like, ugh, this is, I can, like, you could see Arsenal fans getting bent over, ready to throw up, just in disgust, like, sick. Like, I saw Bobby Lee at the Comedy Store, and he was sick at the opening of the season. But they have won six in a row. And as a Man U fan, what would I do to have six wins in a row? It'd be, and they look good doing it. They look fucking good. They look excellent. It's attractive ass football. Not only is their football attractive, but they're both their jerseys, their away and their home jerseys, are probably the best jerseys in the league, like for both. Like somebody, some team might have a better jersey, but that team doesn't have a better combination of away and home jersey. You know, they have the, you know, and speaking of away and home, man, Aubameyang is doing his thing. A few more months familiar with the league, he's doing his thing. So I don't forget names. Aubameyang is doing his thing, right? Lacazette scored, and I think this squad has depth, man. They got Check. Leno has been in for Check since Check's been injured. Leno's been doing a great job. Only one goal got in. Their defense, I think, is a little weak. But if I'm to be honest, their defense is stronger than Man City. Just on paper, stronger than the defense that Man City just won the league with last year. To me, like on paper, like if a coach could get these scrappy guys together, they could play some D, Holding, Monreal, Mustafi, Koscielny, Bellerin. Enough talking to could, you know, make something out of this. Like last year, Man City won the league with Delph as their main back. He's not even a back. These guys have been defending pretty much all their lives, all their careers. And maybe they, I don't think Arsenal will win the league, but they're going to be around. They're going to be there. And who knows what they'll do in the transfer window. Who knows how strong they'll be by the end of the year. You know, if they get a few things that they need, just one or two. This is a different thing. And if Aubameyang and Lacazette keep scoring, Mkhitaryan chips in, Ozil, Iwobi, Lucas Torreira, you know, turns out to be this midfield tough defender that they need, and Guendouzi keeps doing what he does, like that motherfucker's a dream the way he plays, for me, my opinion. And Welbeck, yeah, like I think Welbeck is tough going forward. He's so tough, he doesn't have finesse. That guy should just be in their midfield. He's probably their best defensive midfielder that they are not aware of, that he's not even aware of. Right. Yeah, well, Welbeck likes to put his body on you, throw some tackles in, see him back there, doing some of the stuff that some of the players like Xhaka sometimes fails to do. But it's no good. I'm happy for you. Your next game is against Leicester, and you should be able to win that after the international break, for sure. You could have 7 in a fucking row. What a way. I would take those 2 losses at the beginning of the season to go on a 7-game win streak right after. All day. All motherfucking day. Spurs, you're number 5. And you won this week. And you beat Cardiff. And 1-0. But these are the type of games you got to grind out. You got to win. 1-0 sometimes. And winning 1-0 takes a lot of balls, and you have to pay attention, and you have to also get lucky. You have to be detailed while you're out there, not miss an assignment, because it could be 1-1 in a split second. But yeah, Tottenham, defensively paid attention, focused. Cardiff didn't take any chances that they made, and Tottenham won. And shout out to my cousin, because Deem Harris, who played. Good shit, man. Got subbed in. Good for you, bro. And Tottenham Why is this? Your next game is West Ham. Completely winnable. Well, because West Ham are tied this week. But West Ham has gotten points probably the last 3 to 4 weekends in a row, which is good because the season started with them no points, I think 4 games in a row. So, yeah, you're going up against a West Ham team that's used to getting points now. They have the taste of points on their tongue, and they want some. So, let's see. You should be able to take them all, but this team is addicted to points, so they might take a couple of yours in order to get one. Bournemouth is number 8. Yeah, look at Bournemouth, man. Eddie Howe. Eddie Howe is also being considered, according to some media outlets, as the potential new coach for Manu. But yeah, with this team to be eighth, yeah, 16 points, 4 from the top, 8 games in. Pretty fucking good. It's crazy, though, because they're not as good as the other top teams defensively, because they've let in 12. Scored 16, plus 4. But the thing about Eddie Howe, he's just so offensive, you know? And I heard he does make adjustments on a game-to-game basis, but that's why I think he'd be a good coach at Man U. These are the reasons why he'd be a good coach at Man U, and these are the reasons why he'd be a bad coach at Man U. Good reasons is the team, with the players we have, we would attack. And the fans would love, based on what we've had over the last few years, we would love a coach that could organize our attack. And we'd take some losses, just as long as we looked good losing and the team played 100%, 120%, just went out, attacked, and looked good. Because sometimes when you do that, you're going to take some goals in the net on you. So Man U fans would love the fact that we would play an offensive game under Eddie Howe. The things that you wouldn't like under Eddie Howe is goals being scored on us. Like, we're not used to that either. Like, we're not used to playing the way we're playing now in the Mourinho, but we're also not used to taking on water onto our ship. We like our floors clean and dry. We don't like the goalkeeper taking the ball out of the back of the net. So that would probably be rough for Eddie Howe. You know, right now for Bournemouth, they have 16 goals for them and 12 against. But the crazy thing is, Man U has more goals against us now than we have for us. We have let in 14 goals. Eddie Howe's only at the same point in the season has only let in 12. But last year, ultimately, you know, we had the second best defense as far as goals that went in on us. I think only 28 the entire season. So we just wouldn't be that good, as good defensively under Eddie Howe. Not that we're that good defensively now, which is aberration. We're normally good defensively. And also, if we attacked and we had this attacking game and we had like these losses, I don't know, would we forgive some of these draws or forgive Eddie Howe? After a certain point, we wouldn't be as forgiving if we attacked and we lost. We wouldn't like that either. We like to attack and we like to win. And then once in a while, we'll take a loss. We'll take an L. But I feel like if we attacked under Eddie Howe, we'd lose more than we're used to be losing. And you'd hear it from the fans, you'd hear it from the media. So that's another reason why he'd make a bad coach. Like, we'd probably have more losses than we're used to. Which, in his defense, under Moyes and Van Gaal, we lost more than we were used to anyway. So that might actually help him. But the media just scrutinizes you so much more as a Man U coach. And unless the board upstairs, if they hired him, they told the media in a blanket statement that we are rebuilding and we want him to build this team into something for the future, and they told the fans that, if the fans don't accept that and they want to win right now, then this would be a tough job for Eddie Howe. But just going back to Bournemouth, they won this weekend. They beat Watford's ass 4-0. 4 in the hole. They had 3 by halftime. And early in the second half, they scored their 4th. This game was over against a Watford team that's been good this season. So Watford peaked. They peaked in the first four games in the season, and now they are like dregs in a drink floating back to the bottom of the glass. And next game for Bournemouth is Southampton. And that's winnable. But, yeah, that's winnable. Number seven in the table. It is Wolverhampton Wanderers. And they won again, 1-0 against Crystal Palace. That's a, you know, Crystal Palace. You don't know which Palace you're going to get. They got Zaha. They got players. And, but Wolves pulled it off, man. So they get another point. They've gotten points the last five games in a row. Four of them were wins. One of them was a draw. So Wolves, newly promoted team, is number seven. They got that Portuguese youth squad out there, or just members of the national team, just balling. And they got their Portuguese coach, and the owner's plan is working, and they're seventh, 15 points already. In a league that they just got promoted to, just got their green card for, and they're there doing their thing. Next week they play Watford, and they can beat Watford. And the thing about Wolves is they come for every game. Like, I don't think they've, you know how some teams, there's a game, a few seasons, there's a few games in a scene, in a season where a team doesn't show up. I think they've showed up for every Premiership game. So Watford doesn't show up for all of their games. Wolverhampton has so far. Every game is like we are playing. Like their mental approach for every game is like, let's win this. Like it's like the first game of the season, or they approach each team that they're playing as if, oh, these teams are the champs. Let's have a go at the champs. That's like what their attitude is like. Like they like impressing the media in the Premiership. They like saying, oh shit, Wolves won again. Their mental tone for the season on a game per game basis is let's win. Not just in thought, but they embody it and they go for it. And this is going to get them far. Like, it's just their team essence is like solid. So that's what I like about Wolverhampton. Look who's at number eight. Wow. Woo. With 13 points. Man United. Number eight, they cracked the top 10. Congratulations. I wish I had sound effects. So we win. We beat Newcastle. Crazy game. Best game. Listen, we won the League Cup. We won the FA Cup. And the year after that, we won the League Cup. Then, and I'm not going to mention a Charity Shield. And we won the Europa League. But this game has been the most exciting Man U game I've seen in all that time. This is the reason why I became a Man U fan. Because when they started showing Premiership matches in America, say around, it's over 10 years ago, I used to watch all the games. And then I started watching, paying attention to the teams that I was attracted to more. So the teams I was attracted to more were that played the most attractive football were Arsenal, Liverpool, Man U, and maybe Chelsea was playing some attractive football at that time. But Arsenal always was attractive. But the attractiveness of Man U specifically grabbed me because of the heart of Man U. Like, everybody can play good football, but the way Man U played when they were down Like, I've just never seen a team win from behind like that so many times in so many seasons. I'm like, this is my team. This is a team that I love. Like, that heart grabbed me, you know? Because that's how you would want to be in life. Like, you're down, the clock is running out, but you figure out a way. And then you see a team play like that, and in a way that you can apply to your life. How could this not be your team? And I haven't seen this type of effort that they did against Newcastle since Fergie left. Even though we've won stuff that is since Fergie left. Like, we went every, and that's what's heartbreaking about, like, even our loss to West Ham the week before is because we went down 2 to West Ham, and you're like, we can come back for this. Because it's like you remember the first part of your relationship with someone and how beautiful it was. So then when you get into the bad parts of your relationship, you cling. It's the memories from the first 6 months of the relationship or whenever the relationship was good that you cling to take you through the bad parts of your later relationship. And that's what, you know, that's why it hurts so much when Manu does not come back. So when we were playing West Ham 2 weeks ago and we were down 2-0, you're like, well, Manu, we can come back. And then we scored one and you're like, yes. But then we got my heart broken. Arnautović scored the third goal and we were down 3-1. And you're like, oh shit, we don't have it. This ain't the old Manu. We don't have that. And then this week again, we went down 1 and we said, all right, we're at Old Trafford. We're good. It's Manu. Then we went down 2 and then you still believed, you know, I still believed. And then it's the first half and like, come out. And then I was like, no, they're not in. You just saw them lose to West Ham the week before. But the old love in me is like, nah, they can. And then they came out and they did. And just the fans, man, I got to give the Old Trafford fans props for like staying in this game. They were the first people to stay in this game before even the players. Like, their cheering level picked up the more we went down. Like, they believed first. And I think when the players came out in the second half, and even though the players got booed midweek in the Valencia game for the tie, even though the fans did that, they just were like, no. They just always believe in their first old love and how the relationship was. And they started cheering for that. And Manu players came on the field and embattled Mourinho, embattled players like Pogba, a divided squad with the Ed Wood was sitting in the stands with his arms folded and the misery of what the whole, like, the look on Ed Woodward's face is what this whole season has been for everybody and Manu for all different reasons. And then to hit the look of like fuck on Ed Woodward's face, you know, is how everybody at Manchester United feels. Player, coach, goddamn sock guy, the sock guy, you know, the kit person, cafeteria lady, the fans. But the fans, man, they kept on cheering. I was like, these motherfuckers are still in this. They believe that old thing that I believe. And I was like, fuck it, I guess I gotta believe too. And then yeah, man. And then Manu came out and they turned it up. They turned up. And first goal, first, you know, Pogba did some stuff. And then Mata got the first goal. And it's all people who need to contribute, who haven't contributed. Martial got the second one. What a, like, to show that we can have combinations and plays, and then third goal by Sanchez, game winner towards the end of the game. Even when we, and I love how when we got the second one, it was not enough. Like some teams, you're down a goal and you get a goal, and then you ease up, and the other team that you scored on puts the pressure back on you. But man, you said, nah, fuck that. We're not satisfied with one goal. We're not satisfied with two goals. We want the fucking win. And they went, say, no, there's enough time for a win. Like those guys, these are mostly new players, but they embodied the spirit of old school Man U. So this lets me know. And that they can do this going forward. They know. It's not like they just knew. They knew the history of Man U, and the history of Man U coached them. And here's some things that I heard went on during halftime. Mourinho turned to Pogba. Yes, Pogba, who him and Mourinho's not getting along. He said, what tactically can we do? He asked Pogba. And Pogba was like, I'll drop back. Sacrifice. I'll drop back and play in front of the defense. Marines are bet. Okay. McTominay out. Matic, you're a defender. Pogba, you're in front of the defenders. And Pogba also said, put in Fellaini. Marines are, all right, Fellaini, you're in. Boom. And they fucking worked together. The people who are in trouble worked together to dig themselves out of a fucking hole. And also in a game where before the game it was announced that this was going to be Mourinho's last game, win or lose. And they fucking put their differences aside in based on the situation that they're in. Like your coach is like, if the coach reads an article, it's all over the English papers that Mourinho's going to be fired whether they win or lose. They go down 2-0. So that it's not even a mystery why they went down 2-0. But halftime for everybody to, and that's why this is difficult. Now, because this, so here's the thing. What Man U are we going to get a few weeks from now? Oh, is this, are we going to get the Man U that still doesn't have their problems fixed? Or is this the game that fixed their problems? Because now Mourinho, who's an egotistical guy that is his way or the highway, knows that if he talks to his players a certain way and shows them respect, that they will respond to him. Does this game change him going forward? Does this game change his coaching style, period? Whether he stays at Man U or not. If he stays at Man U, right, does he start trusting that you don't have to beat the players with the whip all the time and that they will still perform maximally? Because he's, from all accounts, like I'm listening to old players getting interviewed, and he likes to like just stay on people and criticize just to keep them on top of their game. But does he realize that now that shit, it's a different type of people, youth are different, and that I don't have to always like be in somebody's face. They will give me their best if I don't yell at them. Does he realize I should change my coaching style? And do the players like this guy's not that bad. He put me in the game and we won for him. If he trusts me some more, will I repay him back his trust? Is this the moment? Can Man U turn this around? Will Mourinho even still be there in, what is it, about on the 20th of October after international break? So that's why I can't call the game, because Chelsea's next. So I can't even say who's going to win this game, because I don't know who's going to be coaching it for Man U. But it's just, like, before I wanted Mourinho gone for sure, but now I'm curious, man. I am curious to see if this would be beautiful if Mourinho stuck around and this game changed his philosophy on how a team should be coached for the better, and if this shitty honeymoon turned into a beautiful marriage. So now I'm not sure you should fire him. Before I was 100% sure. But now I just want to see if he learned enough, if the players learned enough about themselves, and if they, like, admired his vulnerability and will pay him back for being vulnerable in front of him. Like, who wouldn't want to see this play out just at least a few more weeks? My hands is up. I want to see this. I definitely want to see this. So let's keep Mourinho around. I don't think I'd ever be saying that just to see if he learned anything, because it's funny. Like, this is the one time where I think the coach need to learn. Now, it's not the one time, but sometimes coach need to learn as much as players need to learn. Even if I don't care how many championships Mourinho's got, things have changed, and I think he just has to change. You know, like, you can, no, listen, this is the life. Nobody can be like, I'm 60 or whatever age you are, and say, I don't need to change. Everybody, the world is evolving, is moving around you. And you, even if it's a slightly, you always have to make adjustments. You always have to be open to learn some shit and grow. You know what I mean? And sometimes that growth is like animated. You can see it. And sometimes it's just so subtle, but it's enough of an adjustment for you to continue to survive in this world. So that's my Man U 8th place, 13 points speech. All right, Watford. What the fuck is going on, bro? Your last four games. First of all, you're number 9 in the table. You have 13 points. You have the same amount as Man U, so. And you're 9th. So I can't hammer you that bad. But in your last four games, you've had 3 losses, 1 draw. What happened to you? What happened to you? 4 games ago, you had 12 points from 4 games. Now you only have 1 point from your last 4 games. What the Watford is going on? You got trounced by Bournemouth early in the game. And now next week you're playing Wolves. Oh, yeah, playing Wolves. You know what Wolves does? They eat people like Watford's alive. So good luck out there. You may have 1 point from your last 5 games after the international break. Because Wolves is not fucking around. They don't give a fuck that you've been in the Premiership. Ask Chelsea how Wolves treated them. Okay? So, Watford, Roy Hodgson, I don't know what's going on over there. But get shit together. Because you're facing some Wolves. Leicester, you're 10th. You're not surprising me with the season that you're having. Your results are always mixed. In your last 5 games, you had 2 losses. Then you had 2 wins. Now you had another loss. You lost to Everton, who could beat you, but also you could beat them, but Everton showed up. And, Everton, you scored some goals. Leicester, you only score 1. Vardy put the ball in the back of the net. But this week coming up, you face Arsenal. And Arsenal are on a goddamn tear. And you might be a part of the rip. So after the international break, you faced an Arsenal that is just running like a forest fire through the goddamn dry woods. And you better not stand there like a thicket, or you going to get burned, Leicester. So, I don't think you can attack them. You're going to have to pick your battles in that game. Because they are being coached. They got a new renewed spirit. They're taking this league seriously, way more seriously than they were on the wing of the last few years. And they got a squad. Two-headed attacking squad. So, Leicester, get your shit together. Everton, you are 11th. You have 12 points. You won your last two games. Sigerson, what's up? Like four goals in your last four games. Good shit. You could have five because you missed a penalty last week. Last week, you had two, I think, against Fulham. And yeah, man, Sigerson's like finally paying off, worth this money. So let's see. Let's see. You can beat Crystal Palace. And then sometimes you do shit that you got Crystal Palace after the break. You could beat them. I'd put on paper, I say you should beat them, but Everton can be perplexing sometimes, you know? He can definitely be perplexing sometimes. So it's not by any means a perfect squad, you know? Let's look at Everton. Let's see what their problem is. Jordan Pickford, decent goalkeeper, but can be beaten. Leighton Baines, their defenders. Leighton Baines, Michael Kane, Jagielka, old. Seamus Coleman, oldish. Mason Holgate, good, but young. Jonjo Kenny. Ain't nobody screaming his name as being great. Lucas Digne. It's not even playing a lot. Well, he's had six appearances this year. Only been a part of one clean sheet. Decent. So you need better than decent in the Premier League. Yerry Mina. I don't know why they haven't played Yerry Mina yet. It's weird. Like, when he went to Barcelona, he didn't play. He sat on the bench. It's understandable. It's like, oh, it's Barcelona. They got defenders. But then he comes to Everton after the World Cup where he played for Colombia, did great, scored three goals at least. And you're like, oh, this guy, I mean, Colombia played their ass off against England, you know? Almost beat us. We went to penalties. So, and Mina was the one that scored the goal that took it to overtime. So, I don't understand what Mina is missing in practice that he can't start. Especially, for goddamn, you can start for Colombia. You mean Colombia's defense is worse than Everton's defense? Is worse than Everton's defense? Like, Everton's defense is so good that it's better than the entire defense of Colombia that Yerry Mina cannot start for them? I don't believe that. So, I don't know what's going on with him. Man, they have so much defenders. Kurt Zouma, I think he's a good defender. Then Morgan Schneidlin. I guess if he plays, he'll be good. I mean, that statement doesn't make any sense, but, you know, Morgan Schneidlin, the belief is that he's a good player. So if he lives up to that, that'll help Everton a lot. But I'm not sure. When he played for Man U, I didn't see it. I didn't see what the thing was that they said was about this guy. So, James McCarthy, midfielder, oldish, had to start the game. No appearances this year. Idris Gueye had a good World Cup in some games. Midfielder, Gylfi Sigurdsson, midfielder, Tom Davies, midfielder. They got a Bernard from Brazil, so it's always good to have a Brazilian. Sounds good. How good is he? I don't know. They got Theo Walcott. Cenk Tosun from Turkey. One goal, two assists. Niasse is there. Calvert-Lewin has got one goal. I mean, the season's early. We got to see what the coach is going to do with the mix and match of these players to see what he can get, see if he can get the best out of them. Richarlison's got four goals. I mean, it's tough to criticize a squad like Everton, I guess, because I guess they are where they should be with the players that they got. You know what I mean? It's a hodgepodge of decent to okay players. So where else would that put you in the table but 11th? You got Crystal Palace after the break, like I said before, and we'll see. Burnley, number 12 on the table, 8 points. But, you know, last 3 weeks I had three wins and a draw, so they're about these points. So Burnley's climbing back into this. They tied with Huddersfield, and Huddersfield got a point out of this, you know. So, and Burnley's next game is against Man City. I don't, as much as they're getting points in their last three games, I don't see them winning that. So I'm going to go Man City. Brighton Hove, 13th in the table, 8 points. They got a win that they needed against West Ham. So West Ham, you fucking assholes. You beat Man U, but you can't beat Brighton Hove. Step up to us, step down to them. But Brighton Hove is a pain in the ass. I think we lost to them this year anyway. So, you know, Brighton Hove is a scrappy team, and they will get points whenever and whenever they can and add up their change of points, break the piggy bank, and at the end of the year, see if they have collected enough of the piggy bank to stay in the Premier League. That's what they do. They're savers. Like a little kid with a piggy bank putting points in it game after game. Sometimes they go some games without points, but by the end of the season, these scrappy saving motherfuckers will try to be around. So their next game is against Newcastle, a game they could get points from, or a point. Benitez is in, they ain't buying no players. Squad is light. So we'll see. Crystal Palace is 14th, 7 points. Last two games they had losses. Just discussed the loss that they had to Wolves. Coming up, they got Everton. Man, they have a choice, just like they have a chance, just like Everton has a chance to get points from Everton. Because, you know, Everton doesn't have a perfect team, and they, you know, they have to play a damn near perfect game to get all 3 points from most teams that they play. And if they don't, then Crystal Palace can get a point or win the game. So, you know, that's why some of these things are undecided. West Ham, 15th place, 7 points. Like I said, they lost to Brighton Hove 1-0. Where was Arnautovic? Mr. scoring against Man U big man last week. What the fuck happened to you this week? No goals, bro? Good Brighton Hove. Glad you punished them on Man U's behalf. But and then West Ham next week, like I said before, you got Tottenham. So good luck with that. They did not use the momentum of a win, a draw, and a win. Playing Brighton Hove was perfect for you. But Brighton Hove is a gritty-ass team, man. They're gritty. And they would like I said, they're going to try to scrunge and save. And they're going to try to take that penny point from you so they can put it in their piggy bank. And if you ain't prepared to get as grimy and gritty as them, because West Ham has players who could be stylish and flairish. You know what I'm saying? And they might not want to get as dirty as the Brighton Hove players. And sometimes the difference between a point and no point is not flair, but the motherfucker who's not afraid to get dirty. And Brighton Hove doesn't have a lot of flair, but they love to get fucking dirty and use dirt to their advantage. And they got the point. Pellegrini got a West Ham coach, has to make his players learn to love dirt if they're gonna want to get the maximum points that he can get out of this team. Southampton, 16 points. I mean, they're 16th, 5 points after 8 cup games, and 3 losses in a row. Southampton, Lee, your team. It's not doing great. Just lost to Chelsea. Even though I must say, this is one of the most respectable 3-0 losses by a team in professional football that I've ever seen. Because Southampton created as many chances on goal just with the naked eye. If I'd have to go check the stats. But the Chelsea keeper make some great fucking saves. Redmond took a shot. Keeper had to fucking save it. Pushed it onto the bar. And I forgot the other player from Southampton also took an amazing shot. Keeper had to fucking save it. Then also there was a shot where I think it was Redmond again on the left side, where the goal, he had a shot on goal, but the ball went so way, it went further over the bar than Riyad Mahrez's penalty. But so Southampton, it wasn't an embarrassing 3-0 loss. It was like, we just didn't score our chances. Like, you know, Chelsea definitely has found a great keeper. And, Southampton, you're going to have to get it together. If you can play the way you played against Chelsea, against Bournemouth, or teams that are not as good as Bournemouth, you can get points. Like, don't drop your level down. If you could keep your level of play up to the level of play that it was against Chelsea, then you can get points. Don't just play that good against Chelsea. Keep it up against teams that are below that level. And you'll stay up. Fulham, they are 5 points too. They're 17th in the league. 2 losses in a row. It's not looking good. Arsenal trounced you. And let me go to Fulham because there was one player, man. There's one player. Defender on Fulham. Like I said, had 2. Ramsey had 1. Aubameyang had 2 goals. There's one. Go to the lineup. There's one player on Fulham. Cyrus Christie of Ireland. This motherfucker did not run back. And I only noticed because I was watching Match of the Day and they pinpointed this guy out. Your team is playing Arsenal. The Arsenal just won 5 in a row. They've been scoring. You had a run back if you're a defender, bro. And the first couple of goals came down his side. He would attack and not run back. And they singled him out on a game of the week. And yeah, terrible, bro. Like, if you're not gonna come back, just don't go forward. All right. don't leave your team exposed with those fucking savages in those amazing jerseys, because they'll score on you. Let me see something. Just checking something. Yeah. That's the guy I wanted to point out. Shame on you, bro. Run back. Huddersfield. Now we're in the relegation zone. And Huddersfield has 3 points. Jesus. They're 18th. 3 losses in a row and 1 draw. Draw was against Burnley, as I mentioned earlier. So, but you know, Huddersfield's a bunch of scrappy piggy bank savers of points too. So, you know, it's early. It's 8 games in. I mean, you win 1 game and shit, you're in fucking 16th place. So I wouldn't panic right now. Your next game is against Liverpool. Yeah, I would panic now. I would panic now. Yeah. Next game is going to Liverpool, and they just had 2 ties in a row. They're definitely going to try to get a win out of this. And you can be difficult, Huddersfield, but just the way Liverpool, that's the thing about Liverpool. When we're talking about dirt, getting dirt on your fingernails, Liverpool has the flair, but they love getting dirt on their fingernails as much as they love flair, you know? And hopefully they'll get a little rest because of International Week. And they can come back full force, Liverpool. And yeah, Huddersfield, you should get your back blown out. Or maybe not. It can be difficult sometimes to good teams. Newcastle. Man. That's what you went out ahead. Newcastle's number 19th. They have 2 points. And they went up 2-0 against Man U. The bad news is they got the old retro school Man U to come back on them. And thanks for igniting our passion and our past and creating a new future for us, Newcastle. I'll never forget you for that. Thank you. You have Brighton Hove. Good luck. I put my money on Brighton Hove in that one. And I see you at the international break. In Cardiff, Cousins team, they are last. And they are where a promoted team usually ends up. So no shock there. They're trying to try different things. They're trying to figure this premiership out. And hopefully they will. I'd love to see my cousin stay up and play more in the premiership. And Cardiff tries. And then there's some games where they played better than the results that they got out at the end of the game. But that's the premiership, though. That's just football, period. But 8 games in, they got 2 points. That is definitely not great. I'm looking at this board, and they have 5 red L's in a row. And don't get frustrated. Believe in yourself. Play hard every week and you'll get some points. It'll start to come naturally. What you got to do in this league to win or tie, and just take the moral victories for now. Next week, after the international break, you will play Fulham, your old school championship team that you're familiar with from the championship. So there's a possibility for something there. That's a championship game right there. So it's a championship game reunion for Cardiff on October 20th when they play Fulham. So you know what? I'm just going to go emotionally with this and say, yeah, Cardiff has a chance to get some points from that one. So, all right. That's it, y'all. It's going to be international break. No podcast next week. Listen to the week after. Love you. Thanks for listening. Football has been amazing, at least for me. This week it was. Jesus, it was fucking exciting. Let me see if there's anything else I want to talk about. No, just enjoy the stupid Euro League, whatever thing they call this cup thing that they have these countries playing international week. Check out the England squad. Ross Barkley made it. I got to check and see if John Scholes, Shelby made it. Can't fucking say it. John Joe Shelby? Is that it? Am I complicating it? From Newcastle. Because I think he's a good passer, and that's what we need. Is Foden on there? Is a homeboy from Borussia Dortmund, English young kid that's a Man City product on there? I should check. I'll check it after. I got to post this thing before it's too late. Nobody wants to listen to it. All right. Thanks for listening. Subscribe. Leave a review on iTunes. And love y'all. One.